we are here with Waldman's Words. More important than Megan, I just want to say that Emily Burke is co-hosting.
I'm back.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. Megan's more important than both of us combined. Aww. You're not supposed to speak until the thing. We're starting this show with a huge gaffe. By the way, for the record, Megan is awesome, and she's wearing an Armani suit to this interview right now, which is pretty sick. And Emily is decked out in Dior, and I'm just wearing shorts and a Mongolian barbecue shirt, which kind of goes hand in hand with what I was talking to you about. But you know what? Chime in. Do you know who my upcoming guests are?
No, but I know there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
because we all got tagged in that post together.
Was that obnoxious of me?
No, but I kept getting notifications because all of them would comment on it.
I'm sorry.
And then I just unfollowed it.
I understand. I unfollow my own brain. And basically the thing about it is the show is actually booked until April of next year.
That's awesome.
It's awesome and scary and shitty and beautiful. Kind of like Hopeless Records. But basically, with the remaining time, Emily.
Yes.
This is your second show co-hosting, right?
Uh-huh.
Is this one your favorite so far?
I'm having a really great time so far.
You're killing it.
Yeah, this has been a great show.
We're looking at Tom, the CEO, who's going to walk in, who always scares the crap out of me. Dan is to my right, by far the best-looking person in this room. You're so cute. Oh, look, there's Tom. Hi, Tom. This is Megan. We're actually not on the air yet, but this is recording for the air. And Emily, I love you. So with the remaining minute and a half to 2 minutes, I will refer to the next bunch of guests that I tagged obnoxiously in a status. So, drum roll, please. Doop-a-doop-a-doop. I'm not going to be at Adobe for the next few weeks just because I'm in New York and then I'm in Florida. But we've got Curtis Douglas coming on. He's an incredible producer who's worked with The Maine and Sundressed. We've got J.D. Perry from the band Valencia that I actually just started managing last week. He is awesome. He's also in a project called Self Help Me, which, since this is the Narcissism show, I manage that too. And they work at No Hope Records with Sean Dorsey. I'm staring at Tom. He has yet to be on this show, but he scares the fuck out of me. And then the next few weeks after that, yeah, you put your hands in the air, but you're scary, man. You are like one scary man. So we've got Mike Glitta from the band Census Fail, who manages a band called Owl, not Owl, Owl, on Equal Vision. And I saw them live at Chain Reaction, I'd say a few weeks to a month ago. It's by far one of the best sets I've seen all year. And Emily, do I say that often?
No, you don't.
Because honesty is important, and there is none of that in music.
Honesty is the best policy.
I'm so glad I have you on the show for saying stuff that isn't cliched. That was really awesome. Can you give me another idiom?
Probably not.
Thank you. I mean, these kids today, they don't even know what an idiom is. What is an idiom?
You know, I know other things.
What? Wait, say one thing you know. I love it.
You're calling me out.
I know, but remember, there's no such thing as calling out or putting people on the spot, because conversations are technically call-outs and putting people on the spot, and I care about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, everyone in this room is stoked. I'm stoked. We've got Megan Thompson, who I'm not even going to talk about Hopeless right now. She is a bachelor in equestrian science. So we're going to talk about that and stick around, listen to everything that is in between this and everything else, and I love Tom. Hello. Welcome to my show, Waldman's Words, with co-host Emily Burke.
Hi. I'm back.
You're awesome. You're Burke. You're not
I'm
back.
Burke. Yeah, that too. I'm back and I'm Burke.
Can I call you Emily Back?
Sure.
We've got Emily Back here, and we've got Megan Thompson on the air. This is awesome.
It's a Scottish name.
Well, my name is Scott. I have my own country. Do you have your own country?
We have our own tartan.
What is a tartan?
It's a plaid.
I love it. So we got Megan Picture Taker Thompson on the air. I actually just fist pounded her, and I'm never going to wash my wedding ring again because it touched her hand.
You should call it fist bump. Fist pound sounds really...
Already you're freaking critiquing me on the show? Like, fine, I fist bumped.
There you go.
Yeah, I know, because words can be misinterpreted,
yes,
right?
Yes, they can.
Be careful with this English. My degree is not in your doctorate, but my degree is in English language and literature. It really is. And I am very careful with the words I use and don't. So if you take nothing away from this show, you, 25,000 to 50,000 people listening, or one, remember that. Yay, he laughed. Anytime Fish smiles or laughs, I call him out because I love it, because he is... This is Fish on the air, and you can't see me. Anyway, radio silence. So, Megan, you are from Montana, correct?
I am.
I want to hear about it because all I know about Montana is that it's a state I've never been to.
Well, you should change that because it's very popular for Californians to move there right now.
So. And what's popular is always good,
exactly.
So you're right.
Yeah, so I've been out here for, it'll be 9 years in August, though. So.
Word. Can I do a fist bump?
Yes.
Oh, my God, she hits hard.
Yeah, man.
She hits really, really hard. My hand hurts.
He's a fragile Californian.
I mean, I listened to The Fragile by Nine Inch Nails the other day, and that was my favorite Hopeless record, by the way. It's amazing. It's not on Hopeless. Anyway, whoosh. I think it was on Interscope. No, my favorite Hopeless record, we'll go into this later, because how many 80 kids does it take to screw in a light bulb? Want some Jell-O? So anyway, the thing about, yay, she left. No, my favorite Hopeless record is, I'm not going to say Mustard Plug, Evildoers Beware, even though you gave me the vinyl for that, which was, my wife did not give a shit, but I loved it. I would say my favorite Hopeless record recently was Bayside's Vacancy, probably.
Oh,
it's very underrated.
Yeah.
But I'd say of all time, is it cliche to say The Illusion of Safety? Is that cliche?
No.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Most people forget that Thrice was on Hopeless.
And Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a minute. So before we get into your advanced doctorate in equestrian science, what is your favorite Hopeless record, besides Trophy Eyes?
Of the last...
Of ever.
Man. Of the last... I gotta go with the last 4 years.
Just because you worked on it and you're gonna...
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Oh, God. That is, like, so hard. Because all I've been listening to recently is what we have coming out this year.
You don't listen to anything else but the stuff you work... You sound like a musician.
I really am that, like, cliche, like, I listen to my own stuff, but,
I listen to your stuff, I listen to the bands I manage, it makes sense, it's just I also listen to other things, like, the Beatles are pretty damn good, I've never worked with them.
Yeah, man, but that's a really hard question, it's like, pick a kid.
Well, you gotta do Sophie's Choice, and one of them dies.
Can I give you a top three?
Yeah. Actually, no, give me a top four.
Okay. Then I'm gonna go, top four is Bayside Vacancy.
Fist bump.
Trophy Eyes, Chemical Miracle.
I knew you were going to say that.
Amorosa 131.
I knew you were going to say that, too.
Yes, that
I have a feeling the last one I'm not going to know.
Man, probably... Oh, man, I can't...
Evildoers Beware, which came out 4 years ago.
Wonder Years, No Closer to Heaven.
The Oneaters.
The Wonders.
No, you know what? No, that record is really good. My favorite Wonder Years album... It's probably Greatest Generation. Mm-hmm. I really like it. But the thing I like about them is that they're not a songs band. They're an album band. And I can listen to them all straight through and be stoked on that and get stoked on this. Holy, not Hopeless, but get go crazy. Anyway, let's stop kissing Hopeless's ass. So, Montana, tell me about growing up there and how did you get involved in photography / your advanced doctorate in equestrian science? Shut up, Emily.
Sorry.
I talk about this a lot, but...
Sorry. Then you know what? Let's talk about
something. No.
Okay.
I got the shtick down.
The elevator pitch?
Yeah. So I was a huge nerd in high school.
I could never tell.
My favorite band was Aerosmith.
I love Aerosmith.
Everyone should love Aerosmith. They're not underrated. But
was that your first concert, by the way? Because someone just told me that last week.
Aerosmith at the Gorge.
Chad Colby, who is dating my sister-in-law, said that was his first concert.
At the Gorge?
No, he's from the Manhattan Beach area, but I've never seen Aerosmith. Was this like Alicia Silverstone Aerosmith? Excuse me,
no,
I'm choking on my cherry
this
here.
This was like Armageddon era Aerosmith.
You know, like, that I don't want to close my eyes.
Yeah, don't want to miss a thing era Aerosmith.
Wait, stop for a second. Can you sing your favorite verse from that song?
That I don't
want to
close.
Yeah, or it's actually called I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, and it's oft covered on Idol and The Voice.
Little known fact, that was Aerosmith's only number one single, and they didn't write it.
Really? That is a little known fact that the two of us knowns knew. Can you sing a line from it?
I can, but the only thing I think about is Blades of Glory when I think of that song.
You know, I never saw that movie, but I do love Will Ferrell, and John Heder, I think, was great in Napoleon Dynamite. If that makes sense.
That song fit perfectly in that movie.
Was it a montage? Or
they skated.
Can you still sing anyway? Because you're avoiding the question.
Because I don't like to sing.
Okay, then can you verse it? Hey, listen. I don't tell you how to work with your subordinates.
She's mean.
Have I ever really been mean to you? Be honest.
You've never been mean to me.
Thank you. I actually told her during a very, very monumental and emotional time when, you know, sometimes alcohol heightens feelings and I wasn't drunk. I cried to Emily on the phone the other day and I said, I love you.
Aww.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Was it awkward? Be honest.
It's fine. You're fine.
Fine is what Kelly it's uses fine. When it's not fine. Like, interesting and sure. Hey. Emily, you're not being fair. I was literally telling the world that I love you, and you're basically saying it's fine. If someone ever proposes to you, do me a favor. Don't say yes. Don't say no. Say fine.
I'll say thanks.
Don't even answer it. Anyway, back to the guest at hand, Megan, picture taker Thompson. So I'm actually going to literally, it's 7:08 on here as far as how long we've been going. I'm not going to say a word until 8:08, and you could talk about whatever you want having to do at Montana. All right. And horse. All right. And horse.
And one horse. One horse in particular. So I was that nerdy horse girl in school, and I went to school, got picked up, immediately went to the barn and did barn chores and riding lessons for like 6 hours, then would get picked up. My mom would take me home. And I decided I wanted to be an equestrian science major in college and like eventually become a horse trainer, and went to this very small liberal arts school in Fulton, Missouri called William Woods that I wish someone had explained how expensive it was before I went there. It was a great time, but during my sophomore year, pretty early on in the semester, I fell...
It's 8:08, thank you.
Fell in a riding accident, broke my ankle, went home to Montana. The only friends I had not at college were in a band. I hung out with them a lot. And
what band was this?
You would not have heard
it. Doesn't matter. So name drop them.
They were called No Tomorrow.
They're my favorite band.
No, they're not.
Their first EP, Yes, There Is a Tomorrow, is by... Well, you can say whatever you want. I know the truth. They may have been your friends, but they never told you about their secret debut EP.
Name three of their songs.
There's Never a Tomorrow, Tomorrow is Another Day, and Tomorrow, Tomorrow, the cover from Annie.
I wish that they had covered Annie.
They should have. Hashtag really marketing.
And then hanging out with them nonstop, I decided that it was like, oh, photography would be way less dangerous and more fun and transfer to a state school.
Say that to someone watching Falling in Reverse taking a picture. Zing. Microphone.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing. I love Falling in Reverse, and I love photographers, and I don't want anyone to ever get hurt at a show. Yeah, I know. She did this. I actually love their new album. I know. Like, so am I instead of 45% likely to hang out, like 42? Yeah. Or am I done?
I don't know.
Do I have a shot in anything with you? I'm not trying to get with you.
I'm married.
I am, but some married people still do that. I don't. Did I just screw it up by telling you? I genuinely like their music, and I'm not going to deny that. But I just said, meaning I'm now nervous now, because I think that it's not even a silent judgment. Like, I'm getting these looks of fucking love from Megan, who is amazing.
No comment.
Okay, so anyway, I love Montana. I love horses. Can you tell me your favorite horse sitcom, Emily, besides Mr. Ed?
I don't know any horse sitcom.
Of course you don't.
That's a thing?
Basically, there's a horse network, kind of like Nickelodeon for kids. There's Horse Entertainment Television. It's called HET. And it basically just broadcasts horses. I mean, she's a silent partner in it. So all day long, horses.
He's lying to you.
I'm not lying. I'm kidding. There's a huge difference, even though every joke is technically a lie. Why did the chicken cross the road? Stop lying to me.
I can't name my favorite horse sitcom.
What's your favorite sitcom not having a horse? I like asking her questions.
I really liked Everybody Loves Raymond.
You are a 67-year-old man in Florida.
I really am. I'm not going to deny that. I'm such an
old
man.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay.
She's an old soul. And just so you know, the cool thing that I told Megan about before the show started is Megan is at Hopeless Records, and I would argue, and you might go, oh, stop, Scott, or you might go, oh, go on, Scott. She's high up there. And right now, in my opinion, so take it or say, oh, stop. And Emily just started an internship at Epitaph.
Yeah.
Who released Rancid's and Out Come the Wolves.
Yeah, Rancid's new album I love so much. I am not high up there at Epitaph. I'm an intern. I go in there 3 days a week. I play with the dogs and I do some work. Everyone's
I'm so
really
jealous of your dogs.
You don't have office dogs?
No, we can't have office dogs.
I went to your office, and just so you know, Hopeless's office is super cool. I've never been to Epitaph's, and they have so many albums. You don't realize how many albums Hopeless has put out, because I heard of Hopeless on a comp in the 90s, and I heard because of Mustard Plug. That's how I heard of Hopeless, and I saw Mustard Plug open for the Blue Meanies.
Oh, wow.
But the first time I saw Thrice, they were opening for Anti-Flag, and I was a college student. It was at St. Andrews Hall in Michigan. And I was just so impressed at the two guitar harmonies. And then I fell in love with them, and I got Illusion of Safety. And I know it's cool to say Identity Crisis is great, but Illusion of Safety is better. So,
are you going to go see him on that Deftones tour this
week? I want to. Do you want to go together or 41%?
If I can get tickets.
Fist bump. The one like in like down San Diego, I believe, or is there something in L.A.?
I don't know. I really didn't think this question through. I don't have a lot of facts to back it up.
Do you want to go see them at some point?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. I mean, already I would give this interview a B+, A-, and it's going to get better or worse. So let's go back into topics of love and life. So photography, how did that pivot into, I mean, you still do photography, as evidenced by your Christian middle name, Picture Taker. Mm. But basically, my name's Scott Waldman. It's a very Christian name, too. And so, when did you start at Hopeless? Even though I do know the answer to this question. And what do you do now, and what did you do then?
I've been at Hopeless for just barely over 4 years now. Just had my 4-year anniversary.
I'm bumping myself.
Yeah. We actually hired another guy, Mike, on my anniversary. So, you know, I have to fight him next year.
So instead of having an anniversary party for you, it was like, hey, this is Mike.
I have to share it with Mike. But Mike's awesome, so it's fine.
Is his last name Awesome?
Yeah.
Mike Awesome? Mm-hmm. You should
actually
be a porn star.
It's his Christian middle name. It's Mike Awesome Lopez.
Mal.
Yeah.
Which is almost sick.
Yeah. But when I started, my title was content creator.
CC?
Yeah. And so I would make strange little web videos and Instagram videos and behind the scenes content, and I was actually a freelancer for the first year.
But what bands? I think I know the answer, so maybe I'm going to call myself out. Was The Used one of the first bands you worked with, or like who did you do that for?
My very first thing I worked on was Don't Panic, It's Longer Now.
Ah,
I actually got
that's
hired,
what she said.
Hired in the middle of doing the album artwork for that.
Did I not just say, I mean, obviously Love Like War is great and all that, but what I say is my favorite all-time low record.
Don't Panic.
Exactly, and it is. I say that is my first favorite, and then either So Long, So Wrong, not So Long, that's a Freudian slip, So Long It's Light, and Nothing Personal. I'd say those are the ones. I know that I'm supposed to say the EP or the Party Scene because we're so fucking punk. Mm-hmm. But what else did you work on when you started? 4 years ago, I can guess.
Yellow Card Ocean Avenue Acoustic was also my literal first day at Hopeless. I went to Vegas to interview a bunch of Yellow Card's fans about what Ocean Avenue meant to them. And it was
what did it mean to them?
A lot.
That record meant a lot to me, too, because I moved here in 2003 when it came out. So the records that I listened to when I first moved here were Brand New's Deja Entendu, Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card, and not too many people in the States talk about this band, but I think it's crazy. Billy Talent's first record.
Oh, Billy Talent was awesome.
They
still
are
around.
They still are. They're amazing.
Man, 2000, so that was like
three.
Yeah, I was like 2002, 2003 was when I started listening to Billy Talent.
And speaking back of Thrice, I saw them in like 2002 on that tour. But I mean, I'm 36 years old, and I moved to LA when I graduated college, and Yellow Card, Ocean Avenue, front to back, perfect album. And you know what? It's my third favorite Yellow Card album.
Really?
Yep.
What are the other, what are the first two?
The first one, I will give you a hint, it's a Hopeless album. There's a few. It rhymes with Bothern Bear.
Southern Air?
Yes.
But what about, and then is the self-titled your second?
Nope.
Oh, I'm going to tell everyone.
You can tell everyone. I'm being honest. Lights and Sounds.
That was a good one too.
That's a great one, and it's crazy. It's kind of like what Pinkerton eventually elevated Weezer, but it was panned, mm-hmm. and it didn't sell well, and it caused Rivers to go to Harvard, and which is not a bad thing, mm-hmm. but to be a recluse and to be scared. And then they came back, obviously, the Green Album and Hashpipe and got huge again, but it's the fans' album. Mm-hmm. And to me, Lights and Sounds, I think that the people really weren't ready for a darker Yellow Card. Mm-hmm. And that's what my theory.
Yeah, I mean, Yellow Card fans are, like, easily the most passionate fans I've ever met working at Hopeless. Like,
really?
No one else's fans hold a candle to them.
And they light up the sky with that candle.
Like, that final show, like, there were kids in the front row that I've seen watching Yellow Card in multiple states. Like, they aren't just LA fans.
They just kept traveling.
They flew out for it. The fan Chris that was in the final video we put out, he has been listening to the band for like 12 years. His entire room was decked out with posters from like every tour he's been to. He goes to 12 dates of every tour. And so, yeah.
Sorry, Yellow Card's choking me up.
Yeah. So we decided to make an entire music video that centered around him. And I
speaking of music
cool.
video, my former bandmate was in the video for Hang You Up.
Oh.
Yep.
Nice.
There you go. But and which was on their comeback. Yeah. And I really like, I know that you're, again, I just don't want you to keep saying what you're supposed to say. I know you're supposed to say one for the kids, but, like, my favorite Yellow, I actually think Paper Walls was underrated. Mm-hmm. I think when you're through thinking, this is no longer the Megan and Emily show, this is the Yellow Card show. So, what's crazy is the last guest on the show is their publicist, Raby.
Oh, nice.
So, she smiled. It's awesome. So, we have about 2 more minutes to not talk about Yellow Card. So, let me look at this badass outline. Hopeless is number 5. I guess let's go back to number 4. So if you can go through your Rolodex, what are your 3 or 4 favorite photos or people to photograph or objects to photograph? Because I know Yellow Card's record, I believe Ryan, mm-hmm. not Key, but Mendez took the photo on that.
Yes.
And that's cool. Fist pound to myself. Do you, like, what were some of the most iconic or non-iconic, maybe even personal photographs that you've taken? Because you're really good.
Oh, thank you.
I mean it.
I think my favorite photograph still that I've ever taken is this portrait I took randomly of the rapper Astronautilus, and he's on roller
skates. Sidewind Dummy?
Yes. And he's on roller skates and given a double peace sign and roller skating on 1 foot with 1 foot. Like,
but not blades, skates, right?
Skates.
Dope.
And he had just flown in from Australia, and we were having a photo shoot for my friend Byron's clothing company, Hide and Seek, and he dropped by the shoot, passed out on the couch for like 2 hours. Funny story, our models for that entire shoot were like most of the guys from St. Motel, who are now massive.
Ginormous.
So that was, man, like probably 7.
They are a pretty band, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was like 7 years ago.
And you know Kesha was in the video for I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know that. You're smarter than me.
It's a really random fact.
But it's just going back to, like, someone being in
before
they're big.
But yeah, so that photo, Andy is Astronautilus, actually told me someone in Texas got that photo tattooed on them, which is insane.
Okay, well, that I don't need to even hear about your other top two, because your photo, I've had people in 2 bands that I've been in get tattoos of it, and I don't know what to say other than, holy fuck, thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, I just have unwanted body hair tattooed on me. So everyone who does that, that's extreme dedication. I don't have any, you don't have any tattoos, right?
I don't have any
tattoos. Do you have any tattoos?
Oh, yeah.
She does. She's not lying. So anyway, Megan is going to be on the air after these wonderful commercials, and I'm having a ball, and we're going to talk, I guess, as much about Hopeless as possible, because besides Yellow Card, besides All Time Low, besides Mustard Plug and Thrice, there's so many incredible bands on that label, and I would argue, in my opinion, it's an indie major. That's what I think. And so, and same with Epitaph. You know, I mean that, and I'm not just saying that. So, and Dan, your label, Dan Brink Records, is on the fucking brink. Stay tuned. Hello, we are back with Dan Brink on recording. Emily Bank on co-hosting.
That's good.
And the illustrious Scott Waldman on hosting. No, we've got Megan Thompson at Hopeless Records, who started as a CC, and now what is the acronym for your job?
I am the creative marketing manager. which means I hire all the music video directors and some of the photographers and kind of oversee that sort of thing.
So you're basically kind of like a band manager for Hopeless. Because that's what I do, is that like a base, kind of like the liaison with a lot of stuff, but you're way higher up. Well, you're definitely like the kind of person who's like a headhunter, maybe even.
Yeah, like trying to find new directors. Please don't email me.
Wait, quick disclaimer. At the end of this show, Megan may or Megan may not give you her socials. She may or may not. I'm just a quick pitch hint, because I get a lot of pitches, and I would imagine that Megan gets exponentially more than I do. Be careful with your verbiage, and you only get one chance to make a first impression.
Exactly.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's, well, part of the show, I try to make it as educational as possible, because a lot of people listening might want to become an intern at Epitaph or an assistant for a manager, or work for a label like Hopeless, or work like Dan does at Adobe, or work like Scott does as a guy who hosts a show / manager. So I'm telling you, as someone who receives emails, do not write "China" in a business email for the first one. That happened to me 2 weeks ago, and I "China" not hire them.
Yeah, I have gotten on so many unsolicited email lists,
like tagging on statuses
from agents, like agents who rep a bunch of video directors, and there's no way to get off of them because they're not mailing lists you can unsubscribe to.
It's a BCC.
My mind just goes like, I'm never gonna hire any of these people because I don't want to deal with you as a person. So
you might have literally stumbled upon Scorsese, but the person sending it out fucked it up for Scorsese.
Exactly.
I get it. And so you're only as good as yourself.
Daily emails about, like,
Emily, do you get a lot of solicitation emails?
I never get solicitation emails, and I don't want any. The only thing that I see a lot is I do all the social media for the management page.
Which management page is
Waldman
that?
Waldman Management Page. And we got a comment the other day.
Wait.
From a rapper that just said, "We need management, fam."
And it works. And as a result, I signed them, and now they're on Hopeless.
Yeah,
and doing a video.
And that was a little rapper called Kanye West.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name may not be repeated, but yeah, I discovered Kanye West due to my Facebook page 2 weeks ago. That, I don't know if you guys heard about him before. That was all
great. Some great stuff.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. So, back to Hopeless. So, I'm going to reiterate, I'm a super fan of the label. I really am. And I'm just so happy that Newfound Glory's on it. I'm just so happy that Bayside's on it. I'm happy that Yellow Card went back to it for their finale. Tell me a happy story. A hopeful story.
I mean, I think the best current, like, happy story is how well Neck Deep is doing.
Killing it. Like, the top three on Warped without question.
Yeah, we signed them, like, within the first couple weeks of me starting at Hopeless. They were one of the first bands. So we've both been at Hopeless for almost 4 years. And I forgot, I was photographing Ben for Rock Sound and, like, made a comment and said something about him being, like, 24. He's like, oh, I'm 22. And I was like, you're on your third record for the label, like, and you are 22 years old. That is insane to me.
And Lord, yeah, she's a kid. And no, but it's just back to Neck Deep, because I had a meeting before this, and during that meeting, we both agreed about the top three bands on Warped right now in terms of probably... I haven't been yet. I'm going to the one on Long Island, and I'm going to Pomona, where every single person on the planet will be. Mm-hmm. Everyone, including...
It's only industry people allowed in, actually.
That's it. Yeah. Well, you last year... Oh, tell Megan and everyone about your Warped experience last year, that you're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Scott took me to Warped. I was super overwhelmed. It was a great year last year,
But tell the people how working in the industry has perks.
Oh, yeah. You could go backstage at Warped and get super sunburned still.
Yep.
But see some of your favorite bands. I saw Yellow
Five
Card
Seconds
for
of
the
Summer.
First time last
5
year.
Seconds of Summer. That was what you were excited about.
I saw Five Sauce backstage. And I'm a 20-year-old girl, you know? I was in their demographic.
You were younger
than 2014. Or I was a 19-year-old.
They're backstage everywhere. I think they just have a lot of clones.
They do. I feel like I hear about
85 million
everywhere.
Seconds
like,
of Summer.
Everyone knows Five Sauce. Like,
they're taller than you would expect them to be.
And they're in good shape.
Yeah. But they're Australians. I think I've met like one short Australian in my whole life.
I bet he was Jewish.
That was Pocket from Trophy Eyes.
Well, you know what? I don't know. But anyway, thank you for saying that, Perk. I loved having you there with me. It made me really happy. And I don't know, just hopeless. There's so many great bands. The legacy is incredible. I met Lewis because of you, and he was so nice. And he does Krav Maga, and I used to do Krav Maga. That shit is intense. I actually had to stop doing it because I was like, okay, do you want to be a cage fighter or do you want to be a guitar player?
Do you want to have functioning hands for the rest of your life?
Which, as of now, it still hurts a little bit here, like from some kind of carpal tunnel associated with, like, you guys can't see me, obviously, but...
He has me in a chokehold.
Lewis...
No.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, great. Joke, great. Right. Well, I understand your joke, but domestic violence jokes, really, Megan? Anyway, so yeah, apparently, but no, I'm choking every single person in their path. Scott Waldman, 5'9", agnostic Jew. Do not fuck with me. Do not fuck with me at all.
That's what his business card says.
My business card says "Do not fuck with me." It doesn't even say my name.
It just says agnostic Jew. Don't fuck with me.
It's kind of like. Have you ever seen American Psycho?
Mm-hmm.
The book is incredible, too. I think one person's business card just says their name.
My sister and my cousin both own letterpress printing businesses.
That's awesome. Yeah. If you guys want letterpress business work, please solicit Megan Picture Taker Thompson on all social media outlets. Cool. I think she's fine with that.
Yeah.
Cool. See? Look at that.
Sister and cousin would be stoked.
If one person hears about your... Can you name drop the name of the company?
Ollie Ollie Press and Paperboat Studios.
The website.
Paperboatstudios.com.
Fuck yeah. So if one person goes to that website because of the show, then I want 1% commission on a penny. So anyway, hopeless. I moved to LA in 2003, and this was, I guess, before hopeless really, really took off again. I remember, because I had the same agent, as Avenged Sevenfold, who's now at CAA Huge. Mm-hmm. His name's Ryan Harlicker, and he's awesome. And Waking the Fallen had just come out, and I thought they were good.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really into it, but then, talk about a rabid fan base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are massive. We did the reissue of Waking the Fallen, two years ago, and it was insane. Just the amount it sold before... Like, it still does... more sales every week than like a lot of our, you know, established.
So it's like a catalog type.
Yeah. I mean, it still, people are still buying the physical albums of that, like, so many years later.
Do you know what was the biggest catalog album of all time? And it's not hopeless. It rhymes with Bink Boyd.
Pink Floyd?
Dark Side of the Moon was on the charts, just ad nauseam, and Metallica's Black Album. Like, people just keep buying.
And The Killers.
Yep. Hot Fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved to LA, I played South by Southwest 2004. Them and Franz Ferdinand were the it bands.
Yeah, The Killers, that, like, Mr. Brightside has never not been on the charts since it came out.
And the verse is the same in the first and second verse.
Yep.
Which is pretty wild. Yeah, it's funny you talk about The Killers, because I always say that of my life, like, Nine Inch Nails, who I joked about with you earlier, played Lollapalooza, Killers played after them.
Oh,
as
wow.
Big as you think Nine Inch Nails are, and big, Killers of probably our lives are one of the biggest fans, which is pretty wild, like, in the, like, the U2 category of, like, fuck yeah, big.
Yeah.
So, good for them. Have you ever seen them live? I haven't.
No.
Well, maybe at the 41% chance that we're going to hang out whatever.
They are releasing a new album, or they just released it.
They just released a new single, I know. Yeah, I don't know about the album. They're probably still on Island, I would assume, but I like Sam's Town a lot. A lot. That's the one with when we were young. It's kind of like their Springsteen-esque record, but Hot Fuzz.
Hot
Jenny
Fuzz,
was a friend of mine.
That was like my high school jam.
Oh, that's right. You're younger than me.
Yeah. It's Sorry.
It's your fault. Yeah. Jenny was a friend of mine, Sick Baseline, Mr. Brightside, Somebody Told Me, All These Things I've Done, Smile Like You Mean It. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like how, like, Third Eye Blind's debut album, it's just like, holy shit.
Yep. Those were in my CD player, in my car.
Fist bump?
Nonstop.
Boom. So I guess Hopeless, talk to me about some specific, because I really, like I said earlier, I try to make these conversational and not scripted, so tell me as much as you want to tell me about the inner dynamics at the label from that standpoint, because I just started doing A&R work at a new label, but I don't have one millionth of the experience that you have. So what's it like going, like, tomorrow, going into work? Like, what's a typical day?
Typical day is usually, we just hired quite a few, like, we've expanded the team a lot in the last year and a half. So now we've got Mackenzie Hall. She just came over from Alternative Press. She sits next to me. She's amazing. Mike, my anniversary stealer, awesome, is diagonal and behind me. So we have a good little, like, quad of people.
Is it as close as we are right now?
Maybe another foot. Yeah. About that close.
I just backed into a corner metaphorically and physically.
Yeah. And then I just kind of... I'm on my computer emailing or editing content most of the day.
Shout out to Maggie.
Most of the day. Yeah, Maggie. I go over and steal candy from Maggie at least 8 times in a day.
Maggie is a sweet girl, and I met Maggie through a buddy of mine who was on the show named Morgan Carney, who works at Rocketown in Nashville. So they met in that circuit, and I just want to give a shout out to Maggie for being cool. Also, another shout out at Hopeless, because we already said one about Lewis, who was really nice. Eric Tobin... I have no idea how his phone stops ringing.
I don't think it does.
Exactly. Like, probably more than, like, an ER doctor.
Yeah. He's on call 24/7. Just constantly.
From every single band, from every single manager, agent. So, shout out to you, Tobin, for keeping shit together and being busy.
Yeah. So, we have a team of about, I think, 15? In office now? I might be wrong on that.
You have between 10 and 20.
Yeah, and I think it's 15, and everyone who works there is awesome. Really great people.
Everyone I work with is awesome.
Yeah, you got one. I'm really lucky to work somewhere where I like all my coworkers.
That's awesome. So. I mean, it could be way worse. I used to work at a law firm, and I don't need to get any more specific than that. So, I guess this year in particular... Hopeless has put out some really great records. I'd love to hear about, I guess, just since you've been working there, there have been so many good bands, like Newfound Glory and Bayside, like I mentioned, and we touched upon Trophy Eyes, but what really connects you to Trophy Eyes? Like, why them? Because most people that think of Hopeless, they wouldn't be a name that they would name drop, but I assume that in Australia it might be a little different.
Yeah, I think with Trophy Eyes in particular, it was just how much... they grew between records. I always kind of refer to it as, like, if Bring Me the Horizon went straight from Football Season is Over to Sempiternal.
You mean, like, to Melody?
Like, just growth, and, like, they always had great lyrics on their previous records, and then they sent us Chemical Miracle, and it was like, holy shit.
It was
shit.
A fucking Chemical Miracle.
This is an amazing record. Like, this is, you know, one of those records where you hear it and you immediately know that it's going to mean a lot to kids who hear it.
Mm-hmm. It's a front to back, it's really great. Yeah, it was in my car for quite a while.
Exactly. Like, I haven't stopped listening to that record since we put it out last year. It's definitely, like, top three of last year. And all the guys in the band are just, like, amazingly nice people and very dedicated.
Wait, hang on one quick second, because I am literally meeting... what's it?
With Eddie.
With Deal. Mm-hmm. And we spoke over email very briefly, but he seems like a nice guy. And check out Trophy Eyes, because...
Follow them on Twitter, because they are hilarious.
Follow them on Twitter, like them on Facebook, buy their records, stream their records, go nuts. Mm. Because it's bands like that that you might end up seeing on main stage at Warp next year. You really never know.
I mean, since I've started, we've signed so many great Australian bands. Just
I know, with confidence.
With confidence, Hands Like Houses, Tonight
With confidence.
Alive.
Well, first of all, I want to get into Hands Like Houses for a second, because that's so amazing. But With Confidence, for the record, Dan, listen, what do you think? Are they one of, like, the top, like, Adobe bands mentioned here? Like, I would say with because of Phish. Phish talks about them all the time. Yeah, with Confidence, they're just really catchy songs. Like, really smart, catchy songs. I've never seen them, but okay. Hands Like Houses. So I was talking about this, and I just want to give you one more fist bump, last one of the show. I saw Hands Like Houses at the Terragram with The White Noise and with Enter Shikari. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd say most people there for Enter Shikari, that makes sense. But they were by far my favorite band of the night. I don't understand why they're not massive. I saw them open for Pierce the Veil at the loudest show of my life in terms of people screaming when it was them, Tonight Alive, who is also...
That was such a fun tour.
That one, and then what's crazy was Sleeping with Sirens, they left it, and Chiodos played. Mm-hmm. It was at the Wiltern, and then Pierce the Veil, and I was just like, holy cow, this is a 1, 2, 3, 4 solid lineup show.
I went to Vegas for that.
You did?
Yeah, and then we had this tradition for a while where if Pierce the Veil was in Vegas, we would go to Vegas, and we would get my friends and I would rent a suite, and then we would throw a fancy dress after party that was...
Look, she just smiled. She just lit up.
That's such it's a bizarre idea. Thing
that usually just devolved into like
the devolved.
Yeah, just into a bunch of people passed out on the floor while wearing suits. And when Jenna from Tonight Alive realized everyone was dressed up, she was like, "Oh, I feel bad. I don't have a dress." And so we drunkenly took her upstairs, put her in her dress, then I made her walk down the stairs.
She's doing very awesome hand motions now, for the record.
I made her descend the stairs as I played I Come From a Land Down Under over the speaker system, which at the time I thought was just like the funniest thing that could have ever been done, and then I realized it might have been borderline offensive.
Take away borderline.
To Australians.
No, it's fine. Vegemite.
It was a great, great party. And
Silverchair is my favorite band I've ever seen live.
I have never seen Silverchair.
Well, you might never now, but that was the best show I've ever seen. All right, before we close this out, Emily, I want you to say a sentence about anything.
This has been really great.
And I sense no sarcasm there. A sincere sentence about everything. No, it really has been a good show.
That was sincere. I get that a lot. People are like, are you being sarcastic? I'm like, I'm trying to be a good person.
It's like resting bitch face for your voice.
That's honestly what it is, because I look like I'm 15, but then I say some mean shit.
Well, you just have a very kind face, and everyone in L.A. is terrible, so...
And she's from L.A.
Yeah.
Which is so weird, because the people from L.A. are usually like this.
I thought they had all moved to Bozeman, Montana at this point, so...
Every single one of them. Well, I'm going to go to Montana immediately after I talk about the rest of the guests on the show, but Megan, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know that you're busy, and I know that you could be doing... This is what I tell the bands I work with, to really appreciate... If you're playing a show for 2 people or for 20 million people, play it the same way, because the people that are paying to see you could have been anywhere else.
Exactly.
And so I appreciate... This is not a fist bump, this is a handshake. Oh. I appreciate... you taking time out of your day in life to come on the show. It will be on the air on Tuesday, and Tuesday will be the day that is on. So time is weird. Like, today's a Wednesday. Today is hump day. So anyway, Emily, this is your second time co-hosting. You did a really good job with Raby.
Thank you.
And you did a really good job with Megan B.
Phenomenal.
Thank you. It really means a lot.
Again, the voice! Like, even when she's gracious.
I'm sincere, I swear. Thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate your time, too, and I appreciate, just so you know, every single bit of social media that is done for Waldman's Words is you, and every single bit of social media now for Waldman Management / whatever I post about, because obviously with Evolve and Rolling, is you.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Also me. You should like that page. Make my job easier.
Yeah, make her job easier, which is dealing with the moron of me. Yeah. So the next few weeks, I think I memorized this. Let's see if I did. The next few weeks, we've got Curtis Douglas, who's an incredible producer that Ross Roby and I manage, who's worked the Maine Sundress, this band called Wives out of Arizona. He's our, I guess, our Arizona producer, we refer to him as, because we have most of them are in California or New York. We also have J.D. Perry from the band Valencia with Sean Dorsey. They run a label together called No Hope Records. We've got Mike Glitta on. So the next bunch of weeks, are going to be great. I'm actually not going to be in the Adobe studio because I'm going to be in New York sweating my face off at Warped Tour and going on meetings, 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 meetings. And also, I will be in Florida soon, too, for actually nothing to do with music. So I hope you guys have an enjoyable summer. Megan, however you want to advertise yourself, or if you don't. Okay.
Yeah, I am at Megan Thompson on Twitter. Megan spelled M-E-G-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Megan Picture Taker on Instagram if you'd like to follow me.
I think that you should. In fact, on Instagram you just said Megan Picture Taker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to follow you right now.
You weren't already following me?
Were you following me?
Friends. I think I am.
On Instagram?
I think so.
I think, well, why don't you check?
Or do you post, cross-post on Facebook a lot?
I do sometimes. So that might be it, but I'm going to follow you on this. And for the record, I've never done this on the show.
All right.
So anyway, Dan Brink, I love you.
I love you too.
That's it.
All right.